T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Flash, right now.
And good morning from the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath, first on The Fan. Big Ten football is officially back. It'll start on Friday, October 23rd. 8 games in 8 weeks. December 19th will be the title game, sources tell Brett McMurphy of Stadium. The Big Ten will require athletes, coaches, trainers, and other individuals on the field for all practices and games to undergo daily coronavirus testing. The Big Ten will begin this testing on September 30th, with the season beginning on October 23rd. Brewers yesterday beat up on the Cardinals. Christian Yelich broke out of his slump with a home run, 3 hits. Ryan Braun also went deep, 18-3 the final score. Brewers back at it today with a doubleheader against the Cardinals. Around the NL Central, the Cubs beat the Indians last night 6-5. And on the basketball floor last night, NBA playoff action, Jamal Murray scored 40 points. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double by the third quarter. And Denver, again, overcame a double-digit deficit. They shocked the Clippers 104-89 in Game 7, becoming the first team in NBA history to rally from a 3-1 series deficit twice in the same postseason. In the Eastern Conference last night, Jimmy Butler's 3-point play with 12 seconds left put Miami ahead for good as they beat the Celtics in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals 117-114. The Heat were down by as many as 14 points in the fourth quarter. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 1057FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app, and favorite The Fan. Today, we got a commercial-free hour of the Bart Winkler Morning Show beginning now. How Bart and myself are the reasons that the Bucs aren't in the finals.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. Live and local, it's time for The Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. 414-799-1250. We're actually trying today. We try every day. We really do. We prep for the show. We watch all the games. What I mean is today could have been a very easy day. Today, all we had to do was just open the phones and say, Odell Beckham? Question mark? Allen Robinson? We were talking in the 6 o'clock hour about how we didn't want to talk about that. Bunch of people called. But we're breaking down sports. We're not just relying on the old phone calls to carry us through. We're relying on our knowledge. Now, you guys can call at any time. Take us off track. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You are the co-host just as much as me or Horby. But I don't want to do the old Bell Beckham stuff. Rami's in today. He can do that for 4 hours. Get him through. You have, I guess, a claim that you and I cost the Bucks a title?
Yeah, it's you and I. It's us that did it, man. We screwed the Bucks over.
We screwed the Bucks over, huh?
You and I did. So, and Freems.
Freems.
Us three. We talked a lot.
I just sent Freems some mail yesterday.
Did you tell him that you committed a federal offense and opened it? I'm kidding. You didn't do that. You did not do that.
What Horvath's saying is Chuck didn't have a piece of mail that was here for months.
I didn't let my curiosity finally get me.
I did open his mail. I told you not.
I didn't then tell him what was in it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't send it to him at his home.
Well, us three, we talked a lot of trash last season in the playoffs. We thought that the Bucks were at least getting to the finals. We didn't see a threat in Boston or Toronto. And despite the fact that the Bucks lost game one in the second round to Boston, they went on to win four straight. We talked a whole bunch of junk, especially to Boston Celtics fans, including Carver High, who I believe was the show producer of Pharrell on the Bench.
Good luck with the Celtics in the next round. We'll see you win it all then.
When the Celtics punch him in the mouth.
Punch him in the mouth when the Celtics beat him. We'll see how that goes for them.
So, Bucks win that series. We talk a tremendous amount of crap. We went at him pretty hard. We wanted to have him on the show. They were too afraid of us. They were told to ignore us. They're the big dogs. We're just this little local show in Milwaukee. Don't even pay any attention to them. We get that victory. We go to the next round. We talk a ton of trash to that Canadian journalist or whatever. I don't even think he was a sports reporter. For some reason, we have him on. And he tells us that the Raptors have a better bench and that Fred VanVleet is going to tear up the Bucks.
That was Alan Carter.
Alan Carter.
And what is it with leaving the carcass of the old stadium just there to bleach in the sun like bones of a whale?
Yes. We ran our mouth to him, and he told us.
He sounds like Alan Thicke.
He said Fred Van. He does. He said Fred VanVleet's going to come like Omar on the Wire, and he's going to steal your souls. And we were like, Fred VanVleet? This ain't Wichita State, bro. Get out of here. Your bench? Who? Norman Powell?
Yeah, all right.
And then the Bucks.
I'm following.
Lose four straight after taking a 2-0 series lead. We run our mouths to Joe Carter.
Wisconsin is awesome. Milwaukee's a hole.
And they win four straight.
Alan Carter. Alan.
Bucks collapse.
Joe Carter.
Okay. So then this season.
Canadian. Played in Canada.
This season. A take from myself. The only thing stopping the Bucks from winning a title would be COVID-19.
I also said that.
Bucks get to the playoffs. They fall in the playoffs to the Miami Heat, who I say have no shot because Jimmy Butler will never be the best player on a championship team. A take that I do stand by. And the Bucks collapse against those Miami Heat. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics are in the Eastern Conference Finals. They lose game one, but I'm pretty confident they win that series and go to the finals. We talked all that trash about the Celtics, and now it's came back to bite us in the ass. The trash that we talked, Carver High won. We won the war. Wait, we won the battle? Carver High won the war, in my opinion.
So you're going to blame the Bucks. The Bucks fall from grace here on two noobs like us.
Yeah. It's like when you're having a really good
talking trash to people even less known than us.
For example, the last 2 weeks of betting, I hit 70% of my picks. I know nobody cares. I was up a lot of money. Last night I tweeted and then deleted because jinx. I got too cocky. I said I'm taking everything I won the last week, 2 weeks, and I'm going to bet it tonight on the Clippers. There's no shot that they lose this game. I put that into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I jinxed it.
Yeah.
We talked all that trash to Carver High, to Lil Wayne Carter.
To Scott Farrell.
I got a big fat elbow for your face, Henry Winkler.
Since then, the Bucks have dropped four straight games in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Raptors, lost a game to the Orlando Magic, and then fell to the Miami Heat, a team that stars Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Hero, Jay Crowder. You didn't even lose to Kawhi or Paul George or LeBron. Bunch of bums. D-League players. And, yeah, we're to blame. We jinxed the Bucks. We talked too much trash. So from now on, all our predictions for the Packers, they lose. The NFC title game. I just
predicted the Packers to win by 10 this weekend.
Regular season doesn't count, man. Because in Wisconsin, what's the problem? Regular season.
So you're gonna blame us talking trash instead of the Bucks.
Yes.
Failing to make adjustments for the second straight year.
Yep. Not Coach Bud's fault.
Giannis unable to penetrate two guys standing at the free throw line.
What? He was penetrating just fine before we started opening our mouths. I remember him winning an MVP.
Come on.
So pretty much what we've done.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits. Oh, you know,
so now
saying?
All of our teams will have success in the regular season and then fail in the playoffs because of us.
Oh, come on. Come on. You're at that point in your radio career where you think you have power. You think you can will things into the atmosphere. No. We are just the echo chamber. We do not have that kind of power that you think we do. We do not. Carl's on the south side. Let's get to him. Carl.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Carl, you're always here to
not great, Carl.
To put our show on blast.
Carl, we're the reason the Bucks suck.
Listen. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Okay.
I'm actually against what you guys are saying. You guys.
You got to understand, Horvat's a little down today. He put a lot of money on the Clippers.
And I understand. I would be pissed. But the Nuggets are a better team. The better teams are winning in the bubble. All right, it's really a year of unexpectancy. Like, I'm telling you, 2020 is like the year like that. You just got to chalk it up. Don't bet on anything. Just stay up in your own frame of mind of just letting it go. Don't even think about this year, man. Don't bet anymore, Hervey. Don't do it because, man, you're gonna lose a lot of money, man. And then the time that you actually should have bet it, you're actually gonna miss out on so much money. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Hey, I made a bet on the presidential election.
Yeah,
I bet that the Electoral College will tie at 269, and we'll never know who the president was, and our society is going to be dysfunctional forever.
Well, see, this is it right here.
Plus 200.
It's poor thinking that you guys are having right now. As I'm listening to this station, man, and I'm listening to you guys. You guys are one of the best talk shows in the morning, bar none. But when I hear you guys talking like this, and we got so much in the news media, man, to cover, the fact that we are talking about the Bucks still, the Bucks are done.
They just had a big meeting. Giannis, the Lazarus went to Giannis' house.
This is what you do with the Bucks, man.
Giannis tweeted last night.
Very simple for you. We get a better point guard. With a better point guard, we would have went to the finals. Eric Bledsoe is a shell of himself. I called in. I told you guys that, like, what, 2 weeks ago. I said, dude, man, Eric Bledsoe is the problem. He is terrible. He does not show up during big games. If we go out, if let's say we would have replaced him with a Derrick Rose or a Chris Paul, I guarantee you, man, we would have been in the finals. Nobody would have been saying anything. We would have been taking up Giannis' first championship, hoisting him up as the Greek god, as all this crap. I'm telling you, man, it's Eric Bledsoe. He's the problem. He's always been the problem. The fact that we are spending too much money on bum players like him shows that this is just typical Wisconsin sports. We always do this. We always put money into players that are over the hill, overrated, and we do not get anything back in return. Case in point, you guys are talking about Bakhtiari, all right? And I hear you, Horvy. He's a great player. But the stuff that we can get for him in return, let's say if we don't sign Bakhtiari or sign Aaron Jones, who's another flash in the pan type of guy, because honestly, Williams does the same thing that Aaron Jones does, if not more. And
I would
hear me out. Aaron Jones, he's a great catching running back off the backfield. That's about it. But Williams does the same thing.
No, Aaron Jones is a top 10 back.
Listen, man, I mean, he has speed. That's about it, man. He's not an every down back. You don't pay a guy that isn't a every down back, boss. You don't do that.
Aaron Jones is an every down back. He's got he can be an every down back.
But what you're saying, that's all emotion. I'm telling you what I know and what I see. Matt LaFleur doesn't trust him to be an every down back. If they did, they would have never went out in the draft and got A.J. Dillon, a bigger, better blocking type of, you know, running back. I mean, it's
two
the proof is in the draft. Yeah. I mean, if they felt like he was a real third down running back or all down running back, they wouldn't have Williams. They wouldn't have A.J. Dillon. I mean, true or false?
You kind of lost me at saying that Jamal Williams is better than Aaron Jones.
That's all I'm saying. You don't need other guys at your position. One thing that I'm very shocked about you guys not really harping on is the trade rumors. Horvy, I'm really needing you to press this out, man. We need to be the breaking news. We need Odell Beckham. I've been saying this, whether you go get Odell, you go and get Antonio Brown. Just hear me out. If you go and get those type of guys, I'm telling you, man, it puts us over the hill.
Can I tell you something? Carl, thank you.
I agree, Carl.
Bart won't let me talk.
No. I'm gonna lay this out for everybody why I didn't want to talk about the Odell Beckham stuff today, because it's a segment that's been done a million times, and here's how it goes. Should the Packers get Odell Beckham? You know what? We're going to open up the phone lines. Dilly, dilly, do, dilly, dilly, dee. And I'll say, gosh, you know, I really like Odell Beckham. I think that we can get him. And then I won't really give an opinion. And then Horvat will come in and say, oh, we need Odell Beckham. He's great. And then the phone lines will ring. And it'll be somebody that says, you know, actually, guys, the draft was great. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he's really good. So let's keep him forever. I want to give the young guys a chance. And then I'm like, all right, and I'm agreeing, but I'm still kind of just narrating, and I haven't given my opinion yet. And then somebody else can call and say, Odell Beckham is a jerk. He's a diva. He ain't no good for nobody. He's not for my Green Bay Packers. And then that's going to get some people fired up, and then they'll call in and say, Odell Beckham, he should be here. We never do this in Wisconsin. We never go all the way. And then someone else will call in, we should have got Randy Moss and Tony Gonzalez, and we should have done this, and we should have done that. And then I'll say, you know what? I'm thinking maybe I'm coming around to this Odell Beckham thing, but what say you, chatter, 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 799-1250. And then somebody else that's listening from our station will call in and say, like, what are you guys talking about? You guys need Odell. You guys don't want Odell Beckham. He is trash. He's worth too much money. And I'll say, I'm tired of talking about money in this state. Libbity-bitty-bitty-bitty. And that's an hour of your time. It's not worth it for you. We've done that a million times.
Yeah, some guy on Twitter's angry about my awesome segment. He wants to hear Brewers. So what do we got, 45 minutes? Let's do 45 minutes of Brewers, nothing but Brewers.
Who's angry?
Somebody said something about you kept me after a huge Brewers. Here, let me read it. He says, which the best part is a huge Brewers. You guys sleptwalked through a four-minute Brewers segment after a huge win to get to this. Was it a huge win? Or how many games below 500?
Let's do it. 18 runs.
I got it.
Do you want me to play the highlight of every run?
No. I want to do 45 straight minutes on Brewers.
Okay.
Let's go.
Start.
All right, I got it first. What do you need to see from Brandon Woodruff today?
Well, I need him to go at least five innings. You know, he struggled the last time. He kind of labored out there.
Yeah.
A good six innings from him.
Yeah.
But again, you've got the doubleheader. So if he can get you six, then you only need one reliever for that seventh.
So do you think that the postseason, expanded postseason, do you think that that's realistic?
Well,
are you starting to buy in a little bit? I know this team's inconsistent.
He's a guy who's going
you get
to
no hit on
go
Sunday
out there and find every bargain.
Against a guy that nobody's
you know,
always
looking for the best
of.
Deal. Hey,
and then
and he's
night,
willing to admit he's wrong. Justin
runs.
Smoke didn't work out. Daniel Doublebach, look at him. He's dominant. Yeah, he could be an MVP. Looks like Chris Farley.
Are you a little surprised at all the moves that they've already made? I mean, here we are September 16th, but I mean, that actually
got to keep making moves.
The date means nothing because
got to keep making moves. But are you championship season?
But are you surprised? Like, because the one thing I like about Stearns this season is some of those moves, obviously, those bargain deals didn't work out, and he trimmed the fat immediately. Like, he could have rot. Like, Logan Morrison could have rotted in that lineup every 3 days and hit 125 all year. But no, he's gone. And I think that was the right move to make. And I feel like they're trying to put all the pieces together. And that's what I like to see. What say you? Also, so Brett Anderson last night, pretty good. He's 3-3 this season. But were you concerned heading into last night because he had that tight
right
hip?
Are you
going to
break down the Brewers? You're just going to ask me questions.
Well, they're 22-25 right now. They're six games behind Chicago. So is the division, is that a pipe dream, right?
Yeah.
Because then the Cardinals are five games behind.
Yeah,
the
they
Cubs.
Are, I know.
And then the Reds, who everybody, including Pecota. Now, again, that was 162-game projection.
Yeah, well, that was 162 games.
Was really high on the Reds. Now, the Reds are two games below 500, 5.5 back in the division, mm-hmm. but they're playing the best baseball in the division right now. They've won four straight. The Cubs have won three straight. They beat the Indians last night.
They've been playing really well after Tom Brenneman got fired. Coincidence. 799-1250.
What? Oh, Ryan Braun. Think he comes back next year?
I do too,
because 162 game season, man, I think that's the right way to send Ryan Braun off. What a mess it would be.
I think you made your point.
No, 45 minutes.
I think you made your point.
My buddy says, tell dude on Twitter to... Oh, I can't say that. let's see. What else do we got with the Brewers? So today, doubleheader. We're going to see Adam Wainwright, who I'm actually a little surprised with Adam Wainwright. So he's 4-1 this season, 2.91 ERA. He's 39 years old, Bart. He's going to start game one of the doubleheader. 39 years old. He's pitched six or more innings, including a complete game, in each of his last five starts. What do you got to do to get to Adam Wainwright early? Because one thing we learned about the Brewers this year, they're not a team that could play from behind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like, well, last night's a bad example. They go down 1-0, but then they just explode. I think you got to put pressure on the starting pitcher immediately. Don't fall behind in the count. Get ahead in the count. Put pressure on. Get runners in scoring position. And hey, what's wrong with bunting a guy over to third base in extra innings with no outs?
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. Detroit coming off an embarrassing 27-3 loss to the Bears after blowing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari was on the fan.
About Detroit, they do play us up. They are a tough football team. They play hard. It's just they have a hard time getting over that hump.
Veteran guard Lane Taylor tweeted out a message to Packer fans and pledged he'll be back after suffering a season-ending injury to his right knee against the Vikings. Packers center Corey Linsley.
We feel for him, man. He was having a hell of a camp. He's playing well. We feel for him at this time and do everything we can to support him.
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Injury that he had last year and to get to a position where he was in our starting lineup. Certainly he will be missed, and I feel bad for him as an athlete, as a man.
Left guard Lucas Patrick left the game with a shoulder injury. Rookie John Runyon filled in at right guard after Taylor was carted off the field.
Two of your teammates going down, something you never want to see, and it was unfortunate, but I just stayed ready and tried to do my best when my time came and felt pretty good about it.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Because it's a 60 game, like you're right there. I know that
you're still going on about this.
I know you're six games behind in the division right now, but like it's all right in front of you.
Shut up.
I know Vogelbach is like an actual human being that you're relying on to get hits for you. This, but they got a legit shot. I think if it comes down to it, Brewers Dodgers.
Oh God.
Who says they can't do it?
All right.
You know.
Yeah, we're good. Brewers today, doubleheader.
Dude, does the Nuggets beating the Clippers last night make you feel any more confident that the Brewers can make a postseason run? 414-799-1250. They got to solidify the bullpen. And, oh, I thought you were going to chime in. Brewer. You're the, I actually just changed my Twitter handle.
To what? Brewer Horvat?
Ryan Horvat, MLB fan.
414-799-1250.
Can we do something on the Switch?
Who's on the phone?
KJ.
All right.
Ask him about the Switch. I want to know, KJ, what are your thoughts on the Switch, and what rule change from 2020 do you want to see stick next year in baseball?
None of them. I don't even want to talk Brewers. I can sum up what the Brewers need to do in 45 seconds or less.
Yeah, I tried, but we had to do an hour.
Start scoring more runs and do it consistently. That's all I got to say about the Brewers.
Same.
Aloha, my brothers. Thanks for taking my call.
Aloha.
Let me remind you that I love the show. And I just got an email from Mark.
You got an email?
Yeah, my buddy Mark just emailed me.
What does he say?
And he was saying that he loved that last segment that you guys did with Ryan.
Oh, good.
About how you guys jinxed the Bucks this yeah. year.
Does he agree?
Last year. But, and I kind of agree with that because, you guys were talking a lot of trash going into the second round, thinking that the Bucks were going to just roll the ball out there against Miami, and it cost you, in a couple of ways. So that's why they're 1-2-3 K
Cancun right now, so.
Well, it's hard if we try to look at it critical and it's negative against our teams, people are mad at us, and then if we try to be fans and get pumped, you know, people think that we're too much of a homer.
I know. You got to find some kind of a balance between the two. It's difficult. I understand. You know, you got to do 4 hours of trying to this juggling act between, you know, being a fan and being kind of subjective about things. And you know, I get it. But you kind of went a little bit over the top this year, saying that there's no way that the Bucks are going to lose in the second round, and you know all the other things that were said. You know, hopefully, you know the same type of philosophy doesn't carry over into the Packers season this year, especially if they get in the playoffs.
I've made a vow. I've made a vow to not let, because I'm a big Packer fan. But I'm an owner.
That's right.
Thank you. And I've made a vow to not let any of my emotions affect my predictions.
Okay.
And so week one, I thought the Packers would beat the Vikings by 10. From a purely analytical standpoint, and they beat them by 9, so I feel good about that. This week, I think they're going to beat the Lions, so I feel good about that too. From a purely analytical standpoint.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, like I said, the regular season doesn't count. When you get into the big games, you don't want to kind of, you know, start puffing your chest out too soon, you know? Wait till all the smoke clears and everything's all good and, you know, you got the W. You know what I'm saying? Get the W.
I agree. I don't think you should be allowed to talk trash till you win at least one title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? KJ, do you think Keston Hira should be the everyday leadoff man?
Mm.
Because when you think about it, you know, if you look at Brewers history, they've always just had one leadoff man. And since Lorenzo Cain decided to opt out, this team really hasn't been the same.
Hey, Bart, can you turn off Ryan's Brewer mic for a little while?
Well, hold on. I want to talk some Gorman Town. Wait, hold on.
Aloha.
Evan's wearing a Nikola Jokic jersey. And I love Jokic, but Evan, they cost me a lot of money last night.
Are you sure that's not a Melo jersey?
No. Wait. Yeah, it's Jokic.
All right, it's the Joker.
I'm surprised. Are you guys kind of surprised they didn't retire Melo's number, 414-799?
No, but I'm surprised the Nuggets won.
I know.
They go down 3-1 twice, and then they win last night.
I got some. There's a lot coming in on the Big Ten. Their commissioner, Kevin Warren. The only focus and goal that we've had over the last 40 days was to safely allow our student athletes to return to competition. The Big Ten, hold on, there's a lot going on. They're going to have daily testing, which I've already went into, enhanced cardiac screening to make decisions about competition. So each school will designate chief infection officers to oversee processes and report data to the league. Big Ten will use positivity rates, team and area population to make decisions on games. Because I think that's got to be the question. The big question for the Big Ten is, what if they're unable to play one of these games? What do you do? Because they're trying to fit this season in to get a team into the college football playoff.
Yeah, they all bent backwards for Ohio State.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Although, man.
The Big Ten watched the first couple of weekends of college football and said, hey, we could do this. Now,
the problem with that is, like, look at what happened at LSU.
Okay, yeah. So the Big Ten in August, maybe they too early made the decision. Maybe they did.
Yeah.
But these other conferences went ahead with it.
Well, they followed what the Ivy League did, and the Ivy League was the first team to cancel their conference tournament, so they probably figured everybody's going to domino effect, right? Because then the NCAA tournament was canceled days later after the Ivy League canceled their season. Like,
but
if the smart people are doing it, then we should.
In the last 3 weeks, nobody's been, like, we've seen a lot of games get canceled and postponed. And it's just like, oh, Virginia Tech's not going to be played. And we're like, whatever. Oh, BYU and Army, that was supposed to be the CBS game this week. It's not going to be played, whatever. And nobody's like, well, why are they playing? You guys have testing. Look at the college campuses throughout the state right now. Milwaukee, Madison, La Crosse, there's quarantines in different dorms all throughout the state. But we're looking at the ones that are playing and being like, no one's asking, are you sure you should be playing? You sure?
Yeah.
But with the Big Ten, who's not playing, everyone's like, play already! Play for me! Again, I just want it to be done safely. We can't live like this forever. But we got to do it safely. I'm scared, man. I'm scared for winter to hit. I'm scared for all these restaurants that have been doing all these great ways to get around it. Indoor seating or outdoor seating, delivery. Now winter's going to be tough, man. Winter's going to be tough. I'm scared for a lot of these businesses.
I know.
So I would argue, honestly, you may think what you think. I would argue more than anybody I want to get back to normal.
Same.
More than anyone.
Same. And I mean,
I don't like living in my basement or whatever you think I do.
Right.
My precious.
Right.
But I also want it to be done safely.
You know how hard it is to sneak booze in your basement every day?
Very hard.
With your wife there judging?
Yes.
Like, hey, I think you might be an alcoholic. Well, yeah, well, you might be a shoeaholic. I, you know? Yeah, well, you're a house hunter's addict, okay?
Sure.
No, but I mean, like, my kid's back in school. It's so weird because I can't, like, I have to wait in this stupid pickup line. It's 55 minutes every single day to pick my kid up from school. He has to wear a mask. I mean, rightfully so, but it's weird when you're 7-year-old, you pick him up and you're like, hey, bud, do you have your mask? Anybody sneezing? Anybody coughing? My wife's going back to work today, and I'm watching football. I'm watching all these sports. I'm having a great time that I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in a pandemic right now. I kind of forget because everything just seems really normal.
People do forget.
So, yeah, so I'm with you. Like, I want Big Ten football. Inject it right into my veins, please. I love college football. Got to watch my team last Saturday. Everybody should be able to watch their favorite team. I just want it done safely. I think that even if you lose just one kid or one kid gets really sick, I don't think it's worth it to play football, but that's just...
Even if it's not a football player, even if it's somebody on campus as a result.
Somebody's grandma, somebody's dad. Right, exactly. I love football more than anything on this planet, more than half of my family. Mom, if you're listening, sorry, you come in second to football. But
she already knew that.
Yeah, but I like people living and breathing. Like, you know, I root for human life, too.
Yeah, I love life.
All right, let's move on.
I do have a parenting thing I want to bring up real quick. We're going to talk to Mike Renner here, Pro Football Focus, Rami Makhlouf in for Bill the rest of the week. He will be here as well. We'll chat with him. Always fun to do that. You know Kristen Bell? You guys know who she is?
The actress?
Yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Veronica Mars.
I get her confused with the other one. There's like two Kristen Bells. One's not Kristen Bell, but she's like the same actress, blonde hair. Kristen something. Okay, go on.
Kristen Wiig?
Yeah, maybe they're nothing alike. Is she
Kirsten Dunst?
No, I haven't seen her in a movie in like 30. Is she still doing movies? I remember her in Interview the Vampire. She was like 9. And that movie Dick.
Kirsten Dunst is married to the guy from Friday Night Lights.
Which one? Saracen?
Saracen's friend.
Oh, he blew up.
Jesse Plemons.
He is actually, is he more successful than her 414-799?
He's in Fargo.
He was like, he had a year where he was in like everything. He blew up.
Meth Damon.
He's good.
Jesus. Well, that's what they called him.
I know. I didn't know that you could.
What?
So, I don't know anymore.
What's her name?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kristen Bell.
Yeah, Kristen Bell. Yeah.
Veronica Mars. Good place.
Sarah Marshall.
So she's married to Dax Shepard.
Hate him.
I don't like him either.
He ruined Punk'd.
16 years sober nice. For Dax.
Good for him.
So because of that, they have like old duels in the house.
Yeah.
So he still drinks that.
Old Milwaukee NA.
Even though there's still like 0.5 alcohol, there's still a little bit.
What's weird about that is there's like this new non-alcoholic beer and they always advertise and it shows up on my Facebook and Twitter. And it's like, look, you could drink and drive or you could drink and work. I'm like, Jesus, do you really need a beer that bad? I can at least wait till I get home.
Well, we'll find out during the huddle if that's true tomorrow night.
Hey.
She lets her 7-year-old and 5-year-old kid drink the non-alcoholic beers.
My grandpa used to just be like, hey, here you go.
Isn't that a little weird, though? Because there is some alcohol in it.
Yeah, it kind of is because, like...
And then she says, it's great because then they can ask daddy why you don't drink these beers. And then he tells my kids that he's a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, I don't know that I would like that because you're supposed to hate the taste of beer until you get a little bit older. Like, I remember... I always wanted to drink beers like my grandpa. And he'd be like, here's a sip, when I was like 7 years old. And I'd be like, ugh, you know, this tastes terrible. That was back before IPAs and all these beautiful beers that they make now. And I'd be like,
Bulfording.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm never drinking, ever. And, you know, then you hit 15, 14, 21, and you start drinking. and you're like, oh, this is delicious. But yeah, I wouldn't want my kid drinking non-alcoholic beer. I don't even let him drink soda. But he, you know, like it's like a special occasion. I'll be like, hey, buddy, you can have a Sprite today. But I mean, I try to get him to, I mean, he should be drinking water. He's still growing. I don't want to stun his growth.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath here on The Fan.
Let's talk some Brewers.
No more Brewers today.
Damn it.
Although I am excited for the doubleheader.
I am too. I actually am today because it's the only, like, if all we had was baseball, I would be the big.
I'm just excited when sports start before like 6 p.m.
That's what I mean. And we get no NBA tonight.
Yeah, so I could just focus on the Brewers.
No NFL tonight.
I could just be locked in on the crew.
How do you think they do today? You think they need to take two to stay alive?
Oh, I think so.
I think that they're going to. I think they win. I want to know, is Woody starting game one or game two?
We don't know it yet.
That'd be nice to know. I do expect them. I think they split today, to be honest with you.
You admitted earlier today you don't like talking baseball. What the hell's going on with you?
Wait a minute. McKelvey had it 10:22 p.m. last night. Somehow I missed this. Brandon Woodruff game one, Brent Suter game two.
Oh, well, we're fired.
It's like a hidden little tweet he had. So, okay. But
when no one corrected us all day.
Well, I went on to the Brewer. Like, they didn't have it up on. I didn't get a. Usually we get, like, emails and, you know, stuff like that. We didn't get anything yet. So, yeah, Brandon Woodruff game one, Brent Suter game two. So, we'll see Suter.
Oh, wait. I'm checking now. We did get an email. This one's from Mark. He said, hey, guys, love the show. Are you guys both on the huddle with Bill tomorrow night? As a matter of fact, we are. And he says, I heard you guys not know when Brandon Woodruff is starting. He is starting game one. That was from Mark about an hour ago.
Oops. Sorry, Mark.
So I missed that one.
Sorry, dude.
All right. We'll talk to Rami in a little bit here. I think we're good to go with Mike Renner. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. You can follow his work again at PFF. And they are very high on the performance that you just saw out of Aaron Rodgers. And as he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, I would say that's got to be the best Rodgers performance we've seen, Mike, in at least a couple of years.
And it was about as good as we've probably ever seen Aaron Rodgers. It was actually, in terms of the PFF grading, it was the second highest graded regular season game ever. The first one coming back way back in 2010. So it was different to me. It was different from what we've seen in recent years because the ball just came out of his hand. And even when the guys weren't necessarily the most open or, you know, we've seen in recent years, he hasn't trusted guys in like MVS to make those sort of plays after the drops, he kept going back to him. So there was a lot of encouraging signs of things that we just haven't seen from him or that offense recently.
Mike, when you look at the Packers wide receivers, we're doing this thing this morning. Bart doesn't want to do it. I do, where we've heard some rumblings about Odell Beckham Jr. possibly wanting a trade and Allen Robinson. So obviously everybody wants Green Bay to try to make a move for these guys, but we still got a lot of guys to pay. David Bakhtiari, Kevin King, Aaron Jones, just to name a few. When you look at the Packers wide receivers, so they look good week one against an inexperienced, beat-up Vikings defense and secondary, but do you think that they're good enough to compete against a team, you know, like a Seattle this year or San Francisco in the NFC?
That's the biggest thing. I got no sort of worries about Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is going to get open, whoever you're going up against. I don't care about him. He is fine, but I think if you face a defense with a better top corner, just a better game plan to take him out, I just don't worry about the receivers. Like a lot of the routes they were going on, MBS is, he's not a guy who's going to win on a slant route. He's not a guy who's going to beat one-on-one coverage unless it's probably deep, because that's his biggest thing. Alan Lazard, a much better possession-type receiver. But again, I don't think I trust him if he's getting guarded by, you know, a very good number two cornerback. I'm not sure he's going to be separating at a high level consistently. So I do still worry. Like I think it's a very encouraging start, but I think you're going to see against some better defenses, against some better cornerback groups, issues start to pop up. And so I do think that wide receiver is still very much a problem there.
You know how everyone's so reactionary right away, especially in week one. MVS catches the touchdown and everyone's, oh, I thought we needed a wide receiver in the draft. I still think we do. I mean, I'm an owner, so I can say we. But when it comes to, you know, this Packers draft, they had performances. Josiah DeGuara had some plays, and this, you know, undrafted rookie who I keep after looking up his name. I'm going to say Chris Barnes.
You're right.
Okay. The linebacker Chris Barnes, who I didn't know anything about until late Saturday night. You know, these guys made an impact, but I still think what we ended up doing on Monday's show, Mike, was talking a lot about the draft because you see how the Packers can be good. Well, now there's some injuries on the defensive line. There's some injuries on the offensive line. We still don't know how good these receivers are going to be. And you spent your first-round pick on a quarterback. You spent your second-round pick on a running back that had five snaps and two carries. I still think that it's too early to crown the Packers as like, hey, that draft was good because they can still use a lot of pieces.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing is that they were good last year, and they were good on Sunday because of what they did last year, 2 years ago, in those drafts. That had nothing to do with what they did last April, quite obviously. So they could have had guys who were good, you know, this year. They could have drafted some wide receivers to make an impact this year, and they didn't. And that's not, you know, I don't condone a draft strategy to try to impact year one, but I also, the guys they did have, when are they going to impact? You know, if you re-sign Aaron Jones, when is AJ Dillon going to the field? If Aaron Rodgers plays like this for four more years, when is Jordan Love ever going to make an impact? So that was the more concerning thing to me is that yes, you could have, like, yes, you drafted guys not to make an impact this year, but you also get drafted guys who you don't know when they're going to make an impact, and at positions like running back and fullback where even if they do make an impact, they're going to be kind of limited.
Mike, what are your thoughts on paying running backs? Because I feel like that's a, you know, a conversation to have now after Alvin Kamara and Delvin Cook both get paid, because we keep, you know, I want to pay Aaron Jones. A lot of people say not worth it. You don't pay running backs, but I just feel like he brings a lot to the table. You could split him out wide. He catches balls out of the backfield, and he improves his pass catching every year. What are your thoughts on just paying running backs after, you know, you see Delvin Cook get that deal?
I think you need a receiving back like an Aaron Jones, not necessarily like an Aaron Jones, but a guy with receiving skills in some sort of fashion like that. Like when they had Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, you need that in an offense in just today's day and age. And if you don't have that, like you're the Chargers and what they gave Austin Eckler, I'm fine with a deal like that where it's something in the neighborhood of $8 million a year. I think that's very fair. I don't think you need a blockbuster type of running back. I don't think you need to pay big, big money to a running back is the problem. When you're trying to make them a focal point in your offense, I think that's when you run into issues because you don't want to be necessarily running the football. You want your passing offense to be as good as possible. And there are a lot of guys who have receiving skills at the running back position, and I think you can find one pretty much every year in the draft in the third round or later. So to me, yes, if Aaron Jones goes down, I think they'll be in trouble, but I don't think you need to sign an Aaron Jones or Jones long-term. I think you can find one where you found Aaron Jones in the draft, which is the sixth round. So I do think that the draft is where I would turn to if Aaron Jones is asking for Dalvin Cook type money.
Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Packers have the Lions this weekend. They had that really tough loss against the Bears. The Bears looked very bad and then were able to come back. And then, of course, we saw the Vikings this weekend. Coming into the season, I thought, all right, Packers, NFC North, they should be able to do that. One of these other teams could maybe find a way and pop. Thoughts after week one in the NFC North? Do these other teams, because the Vikings, they've got some secondary problems. Of course, they were without Danielle Hunter. You've got the Lions, which they just seem to be the same old Lions, sadly for them. And then the Bears, I'm not really sure what to make of after that performance. They did get the win. Any changes in opinion in the NFC North after 1 week?
No, I wasn't particularly high on any of those teams coming in. Truthfully, outside of maybe, unless the Lions draft class really hit a home run, I didn't see too many teams got better. It was kind of just seemed like a very status quo division, even the Packers. Like, just pretty much everyone stayed the same as they were last year. So wasn't a lot of reason for me to think anyone would be too much different. Now we'll see when Jeffrey Okuda comes back, if he does this weekend, how he is. But from what I saw from the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky and the Lions and their defense coughing up at the end, it was pretty much, you know, status quo.
Mike, one more question about the damn receivers. What do you think the odds are that Allen Robinson or Odell Beckham Jr. actually get traded? Do you think both of those guys, do you think they finish the season in Cleveland and Chicago, respectively?
I don't think there's Allen Robinson. I don't foresee getting traded. That one would be ridiculous to me. He's not. He removed. It was a negotiating ploy to remove all his Bear stuff from social media and whatever. He just wants a new contract.
Yeah.
The Odell Beckham thing, I could realistically see that being him getting shipped out of town because of just the personality problem that he creates in a locker room. And if things go south, they go south quickly with him seemingly. So I could see them just saying, hey, you know, this isn't working out with you and Baker Mayfield. We just want to move on as quickly as possible. And there would be suitors lining up, especially teams like the Patriots. I think even the Packers could be involved in that where they say, hey, we'll take him for whatever, a year, 2 years, and take this chance because he's that talented. Browns aren't in a position where it's probably going to be a Super Bowl team anytime soon. So I do foresee Odell Beckham, like if he does what he did on Sunday for a couple more Sundays, I think he'll be on the move.
Are the Buccaneers bad, do you think?
I don't think so at all. I think the biggest takeaway I've found from that Bucs-Saints game is that those teams are just so loaded from top to bottom. You have a lot of good players on both of those offenses and defenses that that 240-plus-year-old quarterbacks can't just run wild. It was my biggest takeaway from that game. I think they're still a very good team.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's just going to be wild in the NFC. Packers do have the Saints in a couple weeks. No Michael Thomas, it looks like this week. We'll see about week three. Mike, appreciate your time. We'll be in touch. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, always a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
That's Mike Renner. Good live stuff from him, live, this live hour.
I should ask him about the Brewers bullpen.
Oh, yeah. You Damn forgot it. To do it.
Mike, what is up? Mike, Corey Knebel, what the hell? 414-799-1250.
Windows Select, buy one, get one free at Windows Select. The deal continues at Windows Select. And not only do you get to buy one, get one, no payments for a full year. That's a full calendar year from when you get installed. You don't have to pay them anything. And you're getting that deal on the windows. They will take care of you when it comes to windows, siding, and doors. They've got high quality windows. They'll match that with anybody out there. The energy efficiency windows, too, they take a tremendous amount of pride in that. They back their windows with a double lifetime warranty. All their products, the doors and the siding, a double lifetime warranty, one of the best in the whole industry. These guys are locally based down the road in Menominee Falls, proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners now for a long, long time. Check them out, windowselect.com. It's 262-703-3500, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. Again, windowselect.com. Again, proudly serving Wisconsin homeowners. They are going to help you give your home some pop. Maybe you're looking to flip your home, sell your home. The resale value is going to be huge on that. Maybe you're looking to lower the cost of your heating and cooling. You know what? Do this. Call your energy company and try to negotiate your bill today. They'll laugh at you. The way you can lower it is when you keep that cool air in, that warm air in, whatever you're doing that day, and that can be done with the energy efficient windows. So get the free consultation. They'll come out to your house safely and get that done for you. And then windows, siding, and doors, they can do that. Buy one window, get one free. Windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. Ladies and gentlemen, Rami Makhlouf in studio, which is a bigger deal.
Yeah, for some reason. This is weird.
Welcome back. When's the last time you were here?
I don't think it's a big deal for you or for listeners. This is a big deal for me. I haven't been in a radio studio for close to 3 months and haven't been in a radio studio with other human beings.
Oh, you got fired?
In 5 or 6 months.
Right, you got fired?
Yeah.
What'd you tweet? Oh, something
else.
I
knew you were gonna go there today. I knew that was happening. I'm not at all surprised that you just went there.
I'm just wondering.
I had nothing. I was.
We're not doing Barnack for a while.
I'm not going down this
okay,
road.
Okay, we're not doing Barnack for a while.
Why? We never went anywhere we shouldn't go.
At least
not in a way that would, I don't think, cost you your job.
No. But when's the last time you were at the Intercom Milwaukee studios?
These studios right here? I don't know. I think I came and visited not long before COVID. I came and sat. I was in town, and I popped in and visited the boys on the big show one afternoon.
Ah,
just
yes.
Out for a segment or two.
Yes, yes, yes.
But not in an official capacity.
Well, nobody's here. I mean, it's pretty
empty. This is crazy. But this is how I like it. I would always say this on the big show. I loved working holidays because I love an empty building. Because, Bart, you know me, and I have nothing against anybody in this building. I love almost everyone in this building who I know. I'm just not one for small talk, especially when my mind is in show mode and people love to pull you in for some small talk anytime you're walking the halls around here, because they're all very nice and, you know what I mean, very congenial and want to see what Rami's up to and how's Rami doing. And I appreciate that. I just don't want to do it at that time. So I very much prefer an empty building. I love this. This is good.
I've started to treat it, yeah, like a home.
It does feel like home.
I don't
it?
Shower when I come. I wear sweats every
gross.
Day. I go to the bathroom with the door open.
I shower at home, and I close the door when I go to the bathroom, even if I'm by myself. Because it's weird when the dog walks in. That's happened to me before. I've left the door open, and the dog walks in, and there's not much you can do about it. Happened to me a few weeks ago. I opened my shower curtain, and my dog was just standing in front of my shower, staring up at me. And even a dog who you love, who you've known nearly his entire life and have taken care of from being a small, small puppy, opening the shower curtain and having a dog at junk, a pit bull no less, at junk level, disconcerting. A little bit disconcerting, I gotta say. I was a bit startled.
Well,
it depends how long
the drought was.
I am in a long-distance relationship, so...
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
It's going.
Now, she's a Heat fan, though, right?
Yeah, she's fired up, dude. Yeah. She's fired up.
I can't do it.
I love Jimmy, dude. I love Jimmy Butler.
No,
I always have.
I'm like turning on Tyler Hero.
Look, I don't really care about Tyler Hero.
But he's like from here and stuff.
I know.
As a Bulls fan, how do you like Jimmy Butler? He set the franchise back for the next
two
decades.
No, you see, and this is what I was trying to tell people in Minnesota during my short stint there before I was unceremoniously shown the door, is don't be mad at Jimmy because he's pointing out the dysfunction.
Jimmy's a blessing to all these
Jimmy
organizations.
Jimmy cost Tom Thibodeau two jobs. He cost Derrick
Rose
his career.
You know who cost Tom Thibodeau two jobs? Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau is a dinosaur.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Rami, because...
And he didn't evolve with the league. I was threatening my whole time in Minnesota to print up T-shirts that just said, hashtag Jimmy was right.
Well, it's funny, though, because Tom
Thibodeau
was not...
He told y'all it was dysfunctional. Jimmy went to Minnesota. He told y'all it was dysfunctional. Jimmy went to Philadelphia. He told y'all it was dysfunctional. He left all three of those places in his wake, and turns out he was right, and they were dysfunctional, and their problem was a lot bigger than Jimmy Butler. He went somewhere where people's feelings aren't hurt so easy, and you can look at the guy next to you and go, dude, you're really not doing a great job right now, and they don't get their feelings hurt. They go, you know what? Maybe you're I should be better. And they go out on the court and they be better. And that's how organizations win.
I think I'm
confused. Mad at Jimmy.
What makes a good NBA head coach? Because I was told Bud is a terrible coach because he doesn't make any adjustments and he doesn't play his guys enough. Tibbs was a bad coach and lost two jobs because he plays his guys too much. So where's the happy? Doc Rivers is a good coach, but he's blown three 3-1 series leads.
You know, I'm Chicago born and raised.
Derrick Rose or Jimmy Butler?
Have you ever mentioned that before?
Never. And huge Chicago Bulls fan. And
you know, my brother works for Golden State.
And I love Tom Thibodeau. I love Tom Thibodeau when he was the coach of the Bulls. But both his personality and his style of play are outdated. It doesn't work. And he didn't change with the times.
I'm shocked you're a Jimmy Butler guy. Right?
Love Jimmy Butler.
I'm shocked.
Love Jimmy.
So Rami's in for Bill the next 3 days.
I don't know why you're mad at the guy for being right.
I don't like Jimmy Butler. Although, Jimmy Butler's the kind of guy that tells you how hard he works, and then he wakes up at 4 a.m., and I still don't
care.
Dude,
I got up at 6 today. I don't know if I told you guys this. Got up at 6 today, walked the dog, did some yoga, got some show prep in.
Jimmy Butler wakes up at 4 a.m. to shoot 33% from the floor.
I'm not getting up at 4. That's just crazy.
Trust me. Actually, you didn't hear? Now that you're the fill-in guy, I'm actually off next week.
Nice. Outstanding.
You're in.
No, I'm not.
What happened to no days off, dog?
Well, something came up.
I can only earn so much and still collect unemployment. So
we ain't that the truth. I'm employed and I collect it.
Rami is in for Bill the next 3 days. Although the huddle tomorrow with Horvat and I will be Bill.
Oh, I thought Rami was hosting.
No.
We would be kicked off the air immediately.
Yes. Well, I think we're teetering already.
Quick question, and you guys are going to think this is like a bit. Like Rami's doing his germaphobe thing again. I'm serious when I ask this question. Does anybody have a screwdriver? And I know that's a weird question. I want to take this gross mic screen off that's in front of this microphone before I start the Bill Michaels.
Rami, I didn't have a computer until last week.
And I have my own mic cover, but I need this thing off the mic. This thing is gross, and we're in the middle of a pandemic
just
right now.
Be happy with the mic.
Does anybody have a screwdriver?
Look at this one.
But you are the only one who talks into that one. That's your gunk.
Joe's here.
This
Steve's
isn't my
here.
Gunk.
Oh, I do too. Steve does.
Oh, gross.
Horvat does.
Does anybody use this on a regular basis? During,
I think I've gotten
during
past
the pandemic?
The germ thing. I don't.
No, Rami, you're good. Just
I don't think you get COVID from touching.
Just Cutting Edge Outdoors uses that, and all they do is go to the store without masks and shake hands and spit on
the
hand.
Yeah, you get it from Airborne.
There's no Lysol in here.
I have hand sanitizer.
Am I going to rub the mic down with hand sanitizer? Is that okay?
I had to buy it myself.
I bought Clorox wipes. Everybody used
them. Do you know how stupid I feel? You and I, Horvat, in March.
We weren't gloves.
Yeah, we thought we were on the cusp of COVID. Yeah. So we're coming in here with gloves, but just breathing and spitting everywhere.
But I was washing my hands nonstop to the point where, like, my hands
were
just
bleeding. We never even thought masked.
Yeah. My hands looked like I was 90 years old. They were just, like, bleeding with cuts all over them.
You haven't seen this country fall apart at the seams because of people wearing gloves or not.
I told you guys this the last time I was here. This is normal for me. Like, there, not a lot has changed for me in terms of my cleanliness.
Do you want a hit of this?
My awareness of germs. Always. Anytime anybody offers me some hand sanitizer, I say yes.
Well, no, I'll squeeze it on you. You're not touching the bottle.
I don't want to touch the bottle.
I feel like I'm more comfortable now, Rami, at the gym than I've ever been because people
I'm not going
actually.
Back to the gym,
I
dude.
Do because people actually wipe down their equipment now.
I borderline don't even believe that I ever went to a gym. I'm grossed out by the thought of a gym now.
No, disgusting. It's cleaner now than it's ever been. People actually wipe their stuff down.
I don't
care. Let me say something that I'm sure you'll get into at some point today. The Big Ten coming back. First, I do have mixed feelings on this because if anything makes Clay Travis happy, I'm immediately not happy. Hate that guy. But
he is the worst.
You see some of these schools. There's a lot of postponed games. There's a lot of I just think it's going to be
Here's what I want
to
know.
To get all eight games in.
Because I'm not somebody who, like, takes a hard position and won't move off of it. Because that's what stupid people do. Like, when new circumstances and new evidence presents itself, you should be willing to move off a position.
Like I used to think that we landed on the moon, and then I watched the videos, and now I know it was a
fake. Now you know the truth.
Yeah.
But.
Studio.
I need to know what changed. Because they weren't talking about playing football until the spring, and all of a sudden... It's the fall.
They're saying it's the testing.
I actually have an answer for you because Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren said in a call with medical experts, they raised serious medical concerns about going forward.
This must happen while I was driving up and listening to you guys talk Brewers, but go ahead.
Yeah, and then he used the word pause to say what happened next. He says the league is in a much better shape right now and they're more prepared to go forward with football because, like Bart said, the testing has improved, I guess.
Well, they're going to test every day.
In what ways?
Well, what really changed was the pressure.
They weren't playing.
If the SEC's not playing right now,
money.
The Big Ten's not playing.
And that's
right
what I want to know. Did they cave to pressure and bow to the almighty dollar like the Big Ten and all the arms of the NCAA cartel do?
Yes.
Or has it become safer?
Because no,
in the 3 weeks since they were supposed to play.
The last 3 weeks, and I told this to Horvat, nobody's like going after the SEC and being like, hey, by the way, you guys are sure you should be playing. Nobody's doing that. But it's the Big Ten. It's like, you're not playing. You know, you're the dumb ones.
Yeah.
It's just weird how that's playing out.
Rami, did you hear Coach O yesterday say literally his whole team has had COVID-19?
Yeah, and just very casually, just nonchalantly.
But damn is them boys having
to... Most of my guys have had it.
But damn is boys having the times that they lost, I tell you.
What did you say, Gator Man? What was that? It's insane.
You think COVID's bad?
I'm just outside of where you stand or anyone stands or what your beliefs are, the thing that is bothering me the most about 2020 is how the unnormal is just being accepted as normal. I have an image from Monday night that's going to stick in my head forever of a guy in the Mariners A's game in an empty ballpark diving for a ball with a mask on. And I wasn't sure if that mask was because of COVID or for the orange sky of wildfires.
I know.
They canceled the game.
I don't mean to laugh, baseball has canceled games this year because of a deadly virus, social injustice, hurricanes, and wildfires.
Yeah, I hate to say the world's coming to an end. But
what are we doing?
Yeah.
I have to say, though, I was driving from Minnesota to Wisconsin yesterday, and you know that wildfire haze has not only reached us, it's reached the East Coast. It's like it's blocking out sunlight. The orange glow of the sky was beautiful, you guys. It was a lovely drive. Fall colors were setting in.
At least the apocalypse is pretty.
The sky was like this hazy orange. It really
especially
is.
In portrait mode.
If this is the end of the world, it's gonna look nice on the way out.
I thought the same. And then I rolled the window down and all the smoke exited my car. And I was like, oh, no, never mind. It's normal.
Well, Ronnie's had a haze around him for most of his adult life. I think. What else you guys got coming up? I see James Jones on the show. Much.
James Jones is on the show. My buddy Tom Pelissero from NFL Network is on the show.
Jeez.
And Pete Futak from College Football News. He's going to hopefully give us a clearer picture of why the Big Ten is coming back when he joins us at 1:05 on the show this afternoon.
I beat you in fantasy this week. Any words?
No. I hate you. And I will have my revenge.
Who was my stud this week? I had...
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your fantasy team, Bart. You would tell me that more often than anybody
when I hosted
a fantasy football show on this station. What's that?
No, I didn't have Zach Lowe.
Oh.
He was a throwing in a deal some other team traded for.
You guys have seen any good no-hitters lately?
Actually, no, because I didn't watch that game on a Sunday. Are you crazy?
I was watching Red Zone, bro.
I turned on the ninth inning.
Robbie Maklouf, the next 3 days in big units.
The big selfish.
You are the big selfish.
Yes. In for the big unit.
Okay.
I would never say that about Bill. Are you kidding me?
Rami's next.
I know where our bread is buttered.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.